Hour number three, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, helping home buyers and sellers in Middle Tennessee for 20 years. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Fraser here with you on this Wednesday morning, a four-hour edition of Robbie and Rex Road today. Joe, we're halfway home. We'll be with you until 10 o'clock today.
Normally, we're at 67% right now. Right now, we're at 50.
That is true.
Is it my math right there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought the same thing, Joe. I looked, I was like, wait a minute.
And technically, it's 66.6% repeating, right? Something like that?
Well, or if you're going to do it, you'd round up to 7. I mean, 66.66666, you know.
Yeah.
So, well, let's just call it 67. Well, right now, we'll just call it 50.
What now? We'll just call it 50.
It's an even 50.
That's right. We'll have Tony Vitello coming up at 8:15, so looking forward to that conversation with him. And speaking of Vitello, so we talked about it in the last segment a little bit. I mean, we get off the air yesterday, and it's announced like 9 o'clock on the dot that Tennessee is heading on the road, and they're taking on Southern Miss down in Hattiesburg for the Super Regional. Vol Twitter reacted very kindly to that one yesterday with the announcement that Tennessee is going on the road. Lots of mad Tennessee fans, and we talked about it yesterday. Like, the qualifications for that are a little bit jumbled up, and the financial part of it's a lot of it too. So why exactly they came to that decision, I don't know, but Tennessee is going on the road, and they'll be playing Southern Miss in the Super Regional to start things off there. And one of the things I did see from some Vol Twitter people yesterday were that committee. They hate Tennessee, and they hate Tony Vitello. And a lot of it stems from last year's team and just the waves that they made through college baseball. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. And it is interesting to think about, like, Vitello himself and the narrative around him, because on one hand, you do have the team from last year and kind of the brash, bad boy nature of it. And we've seen Tony Vitello lose his cool a few times and bump the official and get kicked out of the game and get suspended and those type of things. I mean, there's a personality with him. And it's kind of the old adage in sports where, to me, like, if he's your guy, you love him. And if you're a Vanderbilt fan or an Arkansas fan or somebody else that's a rival of Tennessee in the SEC, you can't stand the guy. Like, that's he's the classic example of that to me in sports and college baseball right now. So there's that on the one hand. And on the other hand, you look at what he's done, and he's basically single-handedly transformed the entire Tennessee baseball program. I mean, Tennessee baseball, prior to him, they've made the College World Series before. They've had some moderate success. But from a recruiting standpoint, from a facility standpoint, from a financial standpoint, and on the field, Tennessee baseball has never been in better shape than it has been the last 3 years. So there's that part of it too. So when you look at the whole picture of Tony Vitello and what he's done in Tennessee to this point, what stands out to you? What do you think the proper narrative of Tony Vitello is when you look at the job he's done?
Well, first of all, on the selection, I totally understand everybody being upset. I did not think this was going to happen. I got to give Gentry Estes some props, because in the Vanderbilt press box over the weekend, the long, long, many, many hours that we all spent together, he said, I think this could go Hattiesburg. And I'm like, no, come on. It's not going to Hattiesburg. But they put out a statement. Like, it's not as dramatically ridiculous as you might think. Look, they can get 1,000 more people.
And, yep.
And they put out the statement. They said revenue and attendance considerations are, you know, I mean, so could there be a little bit of also like that Tony V? Yeah, I don't know. Could be, but like, I think some Vols fans are making this out like it's way, like it's not even close. I mean, I think in terms of a city you'd want it in, not having been to Hattiesburg, I'd say Knoxville would be the better choice.
You could be in for a big surprise this weekend. We'll see.
Yeah, I don't know. I've heard of Hattiesburg. I hear they have a great volleyball facility. You know, I think that it's closer than you think, and it's just not. For people who are like, well, look at the team profiles, that's just not how they do it. I mean, like it or not, maybe I think they probably should. I mean, they probably should seed the whole thing, and that's it. If you just seed the whole thing,
you avoid this problem.
Yeah, then you okay? Then you know who in the pecking order who gets the Super Regional. They don't do it that way, because in baseball, any little money they can add to the conference, you know, this is not college football. It's stupid the way they do it, but this is the way they do it, and it's not as shocking an outcome as some people are making it out to be.
Agreed.
As far as Vitello, look, I think you're exactly right. I think he's done tremendous things. He's recruiting. You know, we had the question, Jared versus Joe did the early edition this week, Monday, and Caroline's question was like, which program would you sign up for, or do you think we'll have more success over the next 5 years? Tennessee, Vanderbilt. Now, I picked Vanderbilt because I still think, you know, with Tim Corbin, if he's there for that duration, I don't know if he will be, but if he is, I think the question was if it's either, you know, it's Corbin, it's Vitello, go Corbin. But, I mean, like Caroline brought up a good point. Like, look, Vitello has embraced all the modern aspects of being a college sports coach, and like they are out front on NIL. You know, they went and got Maui Ahuna in the portal. Now, obviously, Tony Vitello got suspended. You know, so you know, I don't know exactly what all happened there. Some would look at that and say, "Yep, there's another example of him being a target." And I think I think even with umpires this year, there's been a couple instances where it's like, man, it looked like he was just like talking to you for a minute, yeah. And then you. Now we've also seen him. We've seen him lose it out there. He's intense. He's. I don't know if he's brash. I mean, like we'll have him on in a few minutes, and it's like it's a great conversation, and you know he's a cool guy. On the field, you can see it though, like from afar, you can see the intensity, and I think that rubs off on his team, and it rubs people the wrong way. And I don't, you know, I'm sure he's made some enemies or at least some people who kind of grit their teeth. But also a big part of that is he's kicking their butt on the field.
Well, the interesting part about that to me with this year's team specifically is that they're really not that way. Like like that was last year's team. And there, I think to a certain degree, I think he's always going to have some of that reputation with him because of last year's team, because of the rounding second, throwing the birds up in the air, the getting after the yumps, just some of the comments made. Like it was last year's team was a different group, and Tennessee's fan base totally embraced it. And to the point that, you know, Mike Wilson talked about yesterday on our show, I think that led to them being just a huge target this year. And they got off to a rough start by their standards. And now maybe they're rounded into form. But that's the interesting part. Is like the personality of last year's team and this year's team are pretty different. And we've not seen a whole lot of that from a lot of the stuff we saw last year. I hadn't seen a ton of that from Tony Vitello and this team this year.
Yeah, this year kind of shows you. And, last year, he'd be asked about it constantly. I remember, the phrase I love that he used, like, we got a couple maniacs. those two guys leave, and it's very different.
Yeah.
There's still, in college baseball, you know, in general, there's some trash talk. There's some bat flipping and some plate stomping that goes on, you know?
I mean, I love it. I really do.
Yeah.
Whether it's Tennessee or not, like, I love a little bit of personality in baseball.
Yeah. So, but it is. It's amazing how they're just kind of another baseball team out there. Like, all right.
Yeah.
Good job. You know, celebrate. And then, you know, and some of the stuff, I don't like that they've, like the fur coat, that can't be out there now. That stuff's fun. If it's creative fun, you know, it's like the stupid turnover trash can or whatever. You know, I mean,
the chain.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Let these people have fun. If it's a taunting thing or it's nasty, fine. That's different. But even like to Tennessee's benefit, like the ejection of the Clemson outfield the other day, without knowing every word spoken, I feel like there's a little bit of overcorrecting going on right now.
Well, and the interesting part is, like, and I don't know if this was a direct correlation or not, but it is pretty clear to me that the umpires have been instructed to watch out for some of that a little bit more this year, and I think it cost Clemson the other night against Tennessee, which Tennessee is probably the one that those conversations generated from, would be my guess. Probably never come out and say that, but I would imagine the Vols would be kind of the genesis of what that is.
Yeah, I mean, well, like last week I wrote about Kirby Cannell because he's like their NIL king, which is amazing.
Yeah.
Like reliever, you know, long reliever, and he's just like, but you know, he looks like a Hell's Angel, you know. But I mean, Vitello said it. Like I talked to him, he's like, yeah, man, they changed rules because of us. I mean, that's what they believe.
Yeah,
and I think they're right.
I think they are too. So this is going to be really interesting. You got to go on the road. If you're Tennessee's fan, like how much of Tennessee's fan base is going to be traveling down there? What does the ticket situation look like? Like there's, I've heard from some Tennessee fans that like Southern Miss is trying to really limit how many Tennessee fans are going to be there.
Yeah, Nate asks, you know, do we think Vols fans will almost overtake Hattiesburg? Oh, well, or will it be more 50-50? It won't be 50-50. There's no public sale. So there's no public sale. So, I mean, like the Vols get a few hundred. They get the allotment, which will be families and the big, big donors.
Yep.
So now, will more Vols
they'll find their way in there.
They will, because there will be some people who live in Hattiesburg who say, oh, you're going to pay me that much for this ticket? Okay, here you go.
Yeah.
I think there'll be a lot of Vols fans in the town for sure. But in the actual stadium, I don't think it'll be close to 50-50.
No.
It's but good. You know what? There's a lot of Vols fans with money, man. So yeah. I don't know. That'll be interesting.
It will be. Coming up next, we'll be joined by the man himself, Tony Vitello, Vols head baseball coach, as they prepare to take on Southern Miss in the Super Regional. We'll get into that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Nick Frazier here with you on this Wednesday morning. We are discussing the Vols headed down to Hattiesburg, taking on Southern Miss in the Super Regional. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Tennessee head baseball coach Tony Vitello. Tony, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. Doing well. Patiently waiting our flight to Hattiesburg, and then we'll see how the weekend goes.
Absolutely. Looking forward to that. Well, Tony, first off, congratulations on just a great performance in the Clemson Regional. Really fun to watch. I want to ask you specifically about the Clemson game, which was just a classic game for sports fans out there. What was that like from your vantage point to be a part of that, to watch that, and to ultimately come through that game and watch your guys come up clutch?
Yeah, I mean, it was emotional overload at the end of it. I mean, just a lot of different emotions you want to have. During the course of the game, we knew what was going to go on with their guy Grice throwing against us. It was going to be a dogfight, and there was really no room for error for either team, and yet they put together a big inning, and it could have deflated us. And earlier in the year, it would have deflated us, but the guys just kept playing. And we never really got to Grice, their ace that I mentioned, but what we did do is wear them down well enough that we game. And ultimately, that led to a moment for a Nashville citizen that'll go down in Vol history forever, was Zane Denton's home run. Pretty epic there. On that home run, to finish the question, as a head coach, it stinks. I went from, as soon as he made contact, I knew he got it, so I was elated. And within the other half of that full second, I had to calm the guys down because they were going absolutely bananas.
Yeah, I mean that's an all timer, obviously, Tony. And I mean among like you mentioned Zane. I mean you've got a couple sack bunts that are huge. You got Halvers. I mean you got guys like it's a long list. But Chase Burns in that game, 99 pitches, gives you basically an incredible quality start in the middle of a game. What does that mean for him? I know you said after the game he gave you the Heisman, you know, like, no, yeah, I'm staying out here. But what does that mean, that performance mean for him? Because obviously this has been a rocky sophomore season at times for him and for you guys. But also, like, moving forward, you know, knowing that you've got now that banked for him, what does that mean for you guys?
Yeah, it truly means you do have that solidified fourth and fifth starter with Halverson. I know you mentioned his name too, but Burns is the one that gets to 100 pitches and allowed us to have Halverson available to close that game against Charlotte too, if needed. Halvey was down there in the pen. And I think as much as it does for our team, I think our kids have confidence because they've had to hit off our arms that we have, but it kind of puts the other teams, I don't want to say on notice, but makes them aware of, you know, the end of the game can be something where we can bring in multiple guys to slam the door shut. And, it, you know, it's an older team with Southern Miss, so it may not matter. But it can add team if you know there's even better waiting in the pen than what we're starting, because what we're starting is pretty dang good each of the 3 days.
Yep, no question about that. So, Tony, I mean, as Joe alluded to there, it's not always been a smooth ride this year, but you guys – have gotten to this point, you come through it on the other side. What do you make of just the path to get here for your group, and how much do you think maybe some of the adversity that you guys faced early in the season has helped prepare you for this time of year?
Yeah, it's made us look smart as coaches, which isn't always the case, but we kind of put these guys on alert. Hey, number two in the country is just a few riders sitting around, and not that they're not smart, but we know our team better because we're around each other every day, and we got a lot of work to do. And there's going to be some bumps. There's going to be some adversity and obstacles, but if you keep pushing forward, we'll be at our best at the end, whereas the last couple years, really our peak moments or best moments took place prior to the postseason, you could argue, you know. So I think it's been a different path. It's been one that it could have went a lot of different ways. But when this thing's all said and done, no matter how we finish, I think it's one that a lot of people are going to be very proud of, especially the ones inside of our building, because they know exactly what went into this season. And it's been a lot. It's been a lot of different things.
Christian Moore, among, again, so many performances from the Clemson game, Christian Moore, I thought he made a couple defensive plays in that game that were huge. Obviously, the turn, you know, Maui and Christian turning that huge double play that gets overruled. But also, I mean, he's raking right now, Tony. Where is he in terms of confidence, and how important is that to you guys to have him playing like this at his best?
It's so key because he's got one of those personalities that is just very loud. You know, he's not necessarily a chatty kid, but you can just feel his vibe at all times because he's a big physical guy. He's very sure of himself, and he can really affect the team's attitude in the dugout. And I'll even apply that to last year when we had so many strong personalities and he was a freshman. And so to have him of the right mindset is a key X factor for our guys, even if he's not getting hits. But when he's on a mission to win, he will get hits and he'll make plays defensively. And he changes the whole dynamic of our team because we got him in that five hole. Like we had Trey Lipscomb, our best hitter last year. He's right in the middle of the order, and he can change things there. And then defensively, if you look at our infield relative to prior years, we haven't been as consistent and just as good defensively as those other teams. But when he's playing the way he is right now, it changes the dynamic of the infield, and it actually gives us a chance to turn double plays, which we haven't done that often. And when you know it, you could argue to this point, that double play is the biggest play of our season.
Tony Vitello, Tennessee baseball coach, with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Tony, what do you make of the matchup that you guys have coming up this weekend, starting on Saturday down in Hattiesburg against Southern Miss, and starting that matchup on the road in the Super Regional? What have you kind of learned about what it takes to win this time of year?
Yeah, to win this time of year, I think a lot of it requires you to simplify things and just to play baseball because there's so much build up to it up to pitch one. And then once pitch one starts, there's so many emotions going around the stadium. It's very important to control those. And we've seen that on our side in a negative way last year. And then it affected our regional as well. So controlling the emotions once it starts is huge, but simplifying going in, I think is a key quality. Now, as far as going to Hattiesburg, you know, it's a smaller town. I used to pass through there on my way to Mobile where I went to school my freshman year. There won't be a lot going on in that town other than those ball games this weekend. So it'll be a rowdy crowd, but so is Clemson. So is everywhere in the SEC. So hopefully our guys are prepared, even though it'll be a unique and different environment. Legendary coach. We all know in the baseball community that it's his last year. An older team, a team that lost to Mississippi in the Supers last year, and many of those position guys are back. And then I've started to look at some of their pitchers, and I could talk about a lot of them, but really it kind of revolves around Noah Hall, their ace, and his numbers have been as good as anybody in the country. He's a Team USA guy, and that's going to be a heck of a battle right out of the gate with our hitters trying to get something done off him. It'll almost kind of be just like facing Grice again. It's just, you know, a different style pitcher than Grice.
Tony, were you surprised, disappointed, you know, that it's the Hattiesburg Super Regional, not the Knoxville? And did you get any clarity on that decision in the last 24 hours?
You know, I didn't get any clarity, but I wasn't surprised at all. I'm always sensitive to money. I know we got different times in the NCAA, but we're still at 11.7, so I'm always sensitive to that. And no disrespect to Penn, but an Ivy League team winning on a Monday means extra pitching, and it's just not in the nature of their scholarship setup. So I alerted parents, make your reservations in Hattiesburg right now, save some money. And ultimately, I thought that's what we would do, and I alerted the team that. So not surprised. You don't want to leave your fate in the hands of anybody else. And so it's more motivation to win more games next year. But for now, you know, it's baseball. It's not we're not in the CIA, but you sit and you await your task. And then when they tell you your task, you go do it as best as you can. So I think that's where our guys' mindsets are. And we know we're fortunate to survive maybe the hottest team in the country with Clemson. A couple others could argue TCU and things like that. But to survive that regional down there and be blessed with an opportunity to play this weekend is just fine with us, no matter where it is.
Well, Tony, it was a lot of fun to watch in the regional. Looking forward to the Super Regional coming up this weekend. Thanks so much for taking time to be with us. Good luck coming up in Hattiesburg, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys, for following, and let's make a date to talk this time next week, hopefully.
Absolutely. That sounds great. Sounds like a plan to us. Tennessee baseball coach Tony Vitello, our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, our phone number. You're listening to Robbie and Rexro. We'll have The Choice Is Yours with Joe Rexro coming up next. So looking forward to that. This is Robbie and Rexro, 1025-1063, The Game.
We all have choices to make. This. Like right now.
Call.
It's The Choice Is Yours, built by Jared Companies. You have a choice, so when you have a need for site and utility work, fire protection, concrete and asphalt services, the choice is simple. It's Jared Companies. For more, visit JaredCompaniesInc.com.
Call.
The Choice Is Yours, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
It's that time of the week, time for The Choice Is Yours on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Jared Companies, your one-stop shop for site and utility work, fire protection, paving, and concrete needs. Get your free estimate today at JarrettCompaniesInc.com. Joe Rexroad, you are in the questions chair. I turn things over to you.
Okay. Sports or non-sports?
Let's go sports.
Sports. Well, that's...
Change them up.
That's good. It's coming right off our guest, so I'm gonna present it to you. I mean, I've already given my answer. I can repeat it. I've given my answer, but I'm going to ask you both.
Okay.
Vanderbilt baseball, Tennessee baseball. Tim Corbin is there the whole time. Tony Vitello was there the whole time. Next 5 years, which program has more success?
Oh, man. You know, I think we asked this question
last year.
Last year.
I think we did too.
And I think my answer was Vanderbilt. But I think my answer now might be Tennessee. I first off, and I know the question is assuming that both Vitello and Corbin are going to be there. I get that. I do think there's a chance that maybe Corbin's not there in 5 years, but we'll see. I still think the program that Vitello is building, I think you hit the main point of it earlier. Like the way that college sports are now and the NIL and the transfer portal and all these things, I think Tennessee, just as an institution, is really well set up for that. Like I think they're really well set up for NIL. I think they're really well set up for the financial part of it and everything that goes into that. They're investing into the facilities with baseball, which is going to do nothing but help. So I think my answer is going to switch from last year, and it's going to be Tennessee. But I think it's razor's edge close. Like, here's a call shot for you. If Corbin is the coach for Vanderbilt for the next 5 years, and Tennessee and Vitello stays at Tennessee, they will be both in Omaha, both of them, two out of those 5 years.
Ooh, that's a shot.
Yeah.
I can see it.
I think it's really close, but I'll go Tennessee.
I'm going to lean towards Vanderbilt due to the fact that, you know, you're getting that giant stadium expansion. I don't know. Something with the atmosphere to me, along with Vandy. And plus, the program, in my opinion, just has more of that prestige. I feel like Tennessee's still on the uprising there. I'm going to lean towards Vandy on this one.
Okay. Yeah. That was close. Yeah. I think it's very close. I want Vandy, too. And some of that is, look, I mean, Vitello has to – it's one of those things, like, until you see it, you know, you got to prove it. Now, I think ultimately he's going to break through. But, no, it's very close. I agree. I do think Vanderbilt is – they've done a lot to get into the NIL space. Now, Corbin doesn't like it, and I totally get it, the way his program's been built. But it's going to be close, and I'm with you. I think they're both going to be great. All right, non-sports. The type of music you don't like as a rule – but you love a song or two or maybe even three from that genre. What's the type of music, and does a song come to mind.
All right, you go first. Let me think about this for a sec.
Okay, so mine is disco.
Okay.
I don't really like disco. Like you know, if I was at that crappy White Sox stadium, Comiskey, in the 70s, I probably would have participated in Disco Demolition Night and thrown some disco albums on the field. But there are a few disco songs that are elite. Like, it's a very small number. Alisa Bridges, I Love the Nightlife. Cheryl Lynn, Got to Be Real. Chic, Good Times. Bee Gees, Night Fever. And then there's some Donna Summer that's pretty good, too. The rest of it, not that good. Not very good. But there's a couple songs.
Okay.
All right.
I would say my rule in general, I don't love heavy metal. Not a huge heavy metal guy. But there are certain, like, Megadeth songs or Black Sabbath songs or somewhere. Like, there are certain songs that I like. But I would say, if I had to attach a percentage to it, about 93% of heavy metal, I'm like, all right, stop. Especially when you start getting into, like, some of the screamo stuff. I'm like, that's too much for these ears to handle at the ripe old age of 30, and I can't do it. So that would be my answer. Heavy metal, generally no, but there are certain songs that I like.
I mean, Metallica, Anthrax?
Metallica.
Come on, man. Yeah, Pantera?
I know.
Come on.
Even Metallica, like, it's a different kind of heavy metal. They're not just, like, screaming at you the whole time.
Yeah, well, it's not like death metal.
Right.
I mean, some of that stuff scares me.
Robbie kind of took mine. I was going to go with the screamo stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that really a word? Is that actually screamo?
That's what screamo. We used to call it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I remember my mom and my uncles, I was raised with the 80s rock, which was great. And then, you know, you get to the screamo, you're like, God, I can't deal with it. I had a buddy of mine I played high school football with. Screamo music all the time. I'm like, man, I can't get hyped to this. I need something different. I know. It's weird.
Some people love it.
So neither of you gave me, like, a song.
Oh.
Wow, God, I'd have to think about that for a while.
I'd have to look it up, but I will say this. Country music, and put it into, like, a different genre of, like, hip-hop music. Like, say if you're at a party, somebody plays that one country music Garth Brooks song. I'm like, all right, listen, we're at a genre right now. You can't go switch like that. That's my only rule that I don't like.
So I'll give you one.
Country would have been mine, too. Like, I like a few, but not a lot of it.
I enjoy Symphony of Destruction by Megadeth.
There you go. Yep, that's a great riff. Good call. Dave Mustaine, baby. I saw Megadeth at K-Wing Stadium in 1994. Yeah, that was quite a night. Okay, sports. Someone mentioned, Aziz Al-Sayer mentioned, you know, Kevin Byard. I think he's the longest tenured Titan, right? And, of course, Brett Kern moving on. But actually, it's Kevin Byard and Derrick Henry, both in the draft class of 2016. Both great players right now at this moment. So it's a very simple question. Who will be great longer?
Kevin Byard or Derrick Henry?
Right.
Oh, man. I'll go Byard. I think, number one, the way that he takes care of himself obviously is elite. He's available all the time. Number two, he's not the one, you know, receiving an absolute beating out there when he gets the ball. So just the nature of the position, like, Kevin Byard is the one initiating the hitting. And even that, he's not initiating hitting as much as Derrick Henry is being hit. I realize that Derrick Henry is built like a Mack truck and not much affects him and all that stuff. So I do think it's close. Like, I think Derrick Henry's going to have another great year again this year, so we'll see. But I will go Kevin Byard based on the history of his availability, the way he takes care of himself, and maybe most importantly, the position he plays.
Nick?
I mean, he took it. Yeah, it's KB for sure. The mayor of Murfreesboro. Can't complain.
I'm going to disagree.
All right.
I hear everything you're saying, too. You know, and some of this, again, I sitting there yesterday while standing there in the baking heat and watching just, you know, a team rep and Derrick Henry. It's funny because Derrick Henry, I guess, I don't know. Am I allowed? I guess I won't say what you know, who he was with or whatever. You're not allowed to say that. Derrick Henry took a handoff, went up the middle, and he just kind of shot up the middle. And, you know, it's touch. It's not tackle. But I was like, that dude has 0% body fat.
It's kind of ridiculous.
I got to go with that guy. It's absurd. I think it's a good debate because
he's kind of a cyborg.
It's outrageous, man. And he looks fast and explosive as ever right now. So, I mean, at some point it's going to change. But I'm gonna go with a slight edge to him. All right, last one, non-sports. And I ask this because, you know, the PhD weight loss that we talk about on this program.
Yes.
It's working very well. I like it a lot. But I do miss beans, which are not allowed. And so I ask you, your favorite and your least favorite kind of bean.
Okay. I can do this. All right. Trying to decide the favorite's hard because I have three that have immediately come to mind. They're three very different things.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think least might be easy here, but is Nick Googling beans right now?
Maybe so.
That's amazing.
Well, there are a bunch of different types.
There's a specific bean I grew up with as a kid that I'm not too sure the name of.
Wow. Okay.
That could be interesting.
New territory.
I'm looking forward to that. You give yours first. Let me think about this for
a second. Yeah, it's hard. Favorite is very difficult, but I got to go baked. I mean, baked beans. And I personally make them. I put some ketchup in there. I put some mustard in there. I put some Worcestershire sauce in there. Stir it all up. And if you get some, you know, maple sugar baked beans, I mean, baked beans are absolutely elite. But I'm so close with a lot of other kinds. And then my least is still a kind that I like. I will eat it. I'll eat a whole can of this, no problem. But it's lima beans.
See, that's in consideration for one of my favorites.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm
deciding between three favorites.
Okay.
Lima beans, green beans, which is just a classic answer, and refried beans, which is my real answer probably. I think refried beans is probably my answer. I love it.
Refried
beans.
I mean, I've seriously eaten like just vats of that by itself.
Fava beans.
Fava.
Fava beans.
Fava beans.
You know what? Okay, I'm going to go Jeremy Pruitt on you guys. I don't know that I've had fava beans.
I don't know
beans.
That I have either.
The American term of it is called broad beans.
Okay.
So, but they're on a little plant. I remember as a kid picking this with my granddad. We'd go out in the garden, and they're green type of beans, and you open up the casing of it, and the beans are inside, and you eat them.
Okay.
I mean, fava beans and a nice Chianti?
Yeah.
Anybody get that reference?
No.
You ever seen The Silence of the Lambs?
I have.
Yeah.
I don't remember that probably.
He's talking about eating this with some person with fava beans and a nice Chianti.
Okay.
But anyway, I don't think I've ever had them.
No.
You said they're called broad beans?
Yeah, in America they call them broad beans.
Interesting.
You know, I think that what I've discovered in trying to think of my least favorite is there may not be a bean that I don't like. I guess my answer, like kidney beans.
Love them.
I mean, they're fine. That's the thing. I'll eat them. Like, there's not one that I'm like, I don't like those.
White, red, green, refried, black. I mean, I love black beans all day. No, beans are freaking great.
That's my answer.
That's the theme of the show today. Our 4-hour show, beans rule.
Black beans is my answer. I'll still eat it.
Black
beans. I still will do it, but it would be my least favorite.
No kidding, man.
Just a side note, putting fava beans inside a pasta is top-notch. Fried pasta with garlic with fava beans is unreal.
I had some lima beans a couple weeks ago. That stuff's amazing. Like, I forgot how good lima beans are. I love it.
I like them, too, but a lot of people in the text line are saying that for least favorite. And that's my – I have to – it's just by default because I have to pick something.
A lot of thoughts on beans on the text line right now.
Can we talk about corned beef hash next?
615-737-1025, our phone number. This has been The Choice is Yours. You can check it out every Wednesday morning at 8:30 here on the program. Coming up next, we'll get back into the Titans. Some storylines from Titans minicamp day one yesterday. We'll have Paul Kaharsky from paulkaharsky.com coming up at 9 o'clock. Robbie and Rex wrote a 4-hour show today. We'll be with you until 10 a.m. this morning, so looking forward to all that. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook, live from our 1025 The Game studio. Brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Make sure you check out this week's Nashville's Best Deal. It's River Queen Voyages. River Queen Voyages is the most fun and unique way to see the downtown skyline from the water. You can get half off a $50 gift card while they last at thegamenashville.com/deals. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Nick Fraser here with you until 10 o'clock this morning. We'll have Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com coming up here in a few minutes at 9 o'clock. Joe, day one of mandatory minicamp from the Titans yesterday. Kevin Byard was there. He was on the field. He did not speak with the media yesterday, so we'll see whether or not that happens today. But what were some of your main takeaways from day one of mandatory minicamp with the Tennessee Titans?
So I'm halfway through my notebook. Let's see. The first part that I said in the 6 o'clock hour, what were the big things that stood out to you?
Treylon Burks looking good. Really stand. I mean, that's – he has to. I mean, it's a necessity for him to be a reliable player and a go-to guy for the Titans. So we talked about him. We talked about Jake Okonkwo and the big play that he made yesterday. And what a problem he could be for the Titans coming up this year. Those are the two things that, if you're a Titans fan, that I think really stand out to you on that front.
Yeah, Chig had a TD on a from Tannehill on a, and I honestly, I mean, it looked like a post, but he was down the middle of the field with Hooker in pursuit, and he made a heck of a grab and showed tremendous speed. And I think with him, there's no doubt. Like, he's, you know, they've got something there. I think they got something in Burks. And the offense. I think the offense is definitely going to look different. I think, you know, I know Kaharski, and he was asking, sometimes it's just obvious what Kaharski's going to write on a particular day. And he was asking a lot about the running backs and how they're being deployed, kind of moving all over the field. And Tyjae Spears in particular looks like a real weapon in the pass game. So that's something to keep in mind on. Okay, let's go back through this amazing notebook. And I mentioned, you know, Willis had some good moments, had some misses that you want to, you know, that you want to hit on some of these passes that are there for you. Levis, I mentioned, you know, he had a good throw that was dropped. He had the deep shot to Dowell that was overthrown. Another thing with Levis, and there was a play, he diagnosed pressure and, you know, just a little outlet, and I don't even remember which back, but it was one of those, like, you've got to take the, you got to do the change up. You know, like, there's a little, I mean, he's got a big arm. It's a very easy motion, and he can get it downfield in a hurry. You know, he's got tremendous arm, you know, talent, ability. You got to change speed. Actually, it's funny because that's a little bit also at times with Willis. I remember a year ago, part of the discussion too around him. And then, you know, right after that play that I had noted, he got quote unquote sacked. You know, obviously not actually sacked, but sacked. And there was time to deliver the ball, see something quick, deliver the ball. Didn't, got sacked. Defense going nuts. Defense won yesterday, I would say for sure. Offense, again, I mentioned the Chig play. They had some good moments, but the defense. And the defense throwing a lot of stuff at those guys too. A take that's just in general, and I kind of mentioned it, but like quick hit plays, shotgun. I mean, I'm watching it. Obviously, you're already sort of biased, and you're thinking about like the Texans' offense when Deshaun Watson was quarterback. I mean, but like some of it, I feel like I'm seeing some of that, you know, with this offense. And I think you're going to see, you know, you're going to see like a little bit more creativity in trying to get the ball quickly into playmakers' hands. And by the way, it's one day of minicamp. But one guy who was involved in a variety of ways, was one Racy McMahon.
I would like
to point that out. And actually, Terry McCormick asked this question after the practice, which is basically like, well, like Racy, kind of a downfield guy, but it looks like you guys are trying to, you know, just kind of get the ball in his hands a little bit. And I don't, Vrabel did talk some about him, about how, you know, remember last year he was making plays in camp and then he gets hurt, has a setback. Racy McMath could be a factor in this offense. Burks. Yeah, I mentioned this earlier. Here's another play. It's a post corner with Burks. And, he and Tana. Now, he kind of got Sean Murphy Bunting kind of made some contact, which probably could have been called downfield. They just went to the next play. But looked like another case of like Burks and Tannehill. They're still trying to get their timing together on some things at times and reads and all that stuff. But again, there were a couple plays where Burks got the ball going downhill, and yeah, he looks pretty lethal. You know, the biggest play for the defense, the whole D went nuts, was Kevin Byard coming over the middle and breaking up a pass to Chig. Chig was open, Byard read it all the way. It was Tannehill throwing to Chig, you know, best against best and all that, and the whole place went nuts. I mean, again, Byard was a big presence all day, just like he always is, especially just taking guys aside. Okay, that's – no, when they do this, now we go to this and all that kind of stuff like he always does. It was just Kevin Byard resuming what he does, you know, for this team. I have more, but any reaction to anything I've said?
No, keep going.
Okay, Alize Mack, okay? Does anybody know who that is?
No.
Okay. Now, this is a classic. This could be an absolutely classic case.
In relation to Khalil Mack.
I don't know. But this could be a classic case of someone looking at something that happens in an OTA or in a mini camp in May or June and drawing rash conclusions. I'm not doing that. But I got to say, Alize Mack, who is an I'm trying to find him on the – yeah, there you go. He's he was signed. He played last year. He's out of Notre Dame. He is a tight end, 6'4", 251. I don't know where he was last year. You notice that dude out there. You notice Alize Mack, and he had one particular play. It was Levis, actually. Levis throwing to Mack. Really nice route, good throw, catch, and he starts rumbling, and you're like, jeez, I mean, this guy looks like a guy. So I just keep the name in my ear. You're always trying to find some tight end depth at different positions. Maybe he could be a find.
You heard it here first.
There you go.
The Titans led by Mack and McMath leading the way.
McMack.
McMack.
That combo, McMack. Oh, get out of the way, NFL.
Vray Rand and McMack. What a movie title that could be.
Wow.
Just the name of the 30 for 30, and they win the Super Bowl.
Dust off that Lombardi and bring it down to Nashville.
Looking forward to that. Some quick news real quickly. Rory McIlroy is speaking right now, discussing the Liv PGA stuff, and some interesting quotes coming out of there, including one that is, quote, "I still hate Liv. I hate them. I hope it goes away." This is what Rory McIlroy had to say. And in some other news, Lionel Messi is coming to the MLS, joining Miami. So the biggest soccer superstar in the world, joining the MLS, joining Miami. So just some quick breaking news there.
There you go. And also on the text line, Mack was with the Bears last year per the text line.
There you go.
So there you go.
615-737-1025. We'll continue our discussion on the Titans coming up next, a four-hour edition of Robbie and Rex Road. Today we'll be with you until 10 o'clock. We'll have Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.